Open your Bible, if you would, this morning to the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, don't worry about the time. I'm watching it. It goes by just like it does every day of your life. Amen. If you were at your favorite football game, you wouldn't be worrying about it at all. If you ladies were at the Galleria shopping, you wouldn't even worry about time, what time it was. So just hang in there. We'll get done right on time, place where the Lord wants us to be. This morning, for just a few minutes, I'd like to bring a message that I believe is a powerful message, not because it's mine, but because it is a message from the Word of God. I want to bring a message that has the potential of helping every person in this building this morning. A lot of messages, they'll reach this person or that person, but I believe I have a message from God this morning that will help every one of you that are here today. It'll be something that is beneficial to you in your Christian life. And I ask this morning for your help, for your prayers, for your patience, and for your attention for just a few minutes. I believe this message is so practical, the devil's going to do everything he can to keep you from hearing it, hiding it in your heart, and heeding what God says. The devil doesn't mind if you hear preaching. He just doesn't want you to practice what you hear. The devil doesn't mind sermon listening. Do you know the devil listens to sermons? Sure he does. He probably knows the Bible better than the average Christian knows the Word of God. He doesn't mind you listening as long as you don't put in practice what you heard. That's the gap we have to get across in our life. That's why we constantly come to church and hearing those things, hide them in our heart, to heed those and to put in practice exactly what God would want us to do. In the Gospel of Mark chapter 9 and verse 14, it says this. Mark chapter 9 and verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with him. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" Of course, he already knew, but he just likes to see what our response is a lot of time. And he asked them what's going on, just not for his benefit, but for theirs, so they could maybe comprehend what was taking place. And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." Don't know why that's so unusual. Most young boys I've seen have that spirit right there. I raised three of them, amen, and verse... Bible's a neat book, isn't it? I mean, verse 18, "And whensoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. They brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said unto him, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him." The spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being a child of God this morning, that we can bow our heads and say, Father, and know there's a God in heaven who's real, who hears and answers our prayer. We thank you, God, for the physical food and the ladies and the workers of this church and all the time and the money and effort and preparation they put in for doing everything they can to make us feel physically comfortable and welcome. And we appreciate Glory Land Baptist Church, their pastor, pastor's wife, and all of them. And thank you for them. Thank you for the good singing. Thank you for the preaching that we've heard this morning that has spiritually ministered to our needs. We've heard things that we need to hear, been given things that will help us not only today, but tomorrow, next week, or well, however long it is until you come again. Now, I ask Holy Spirit of God for your presence, for your power. I don't want to speak just for the sake of speaking. I don't want to preach just for the sake of preaching. I don't want to just say something for the sake of saying something. I want your presence and your power, your anointing, your touch, your help, your strength, your guidance, and all that you can do through me today that would bring honor and glory to you. Bless the message, bless the words that are said today, and we ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the many miracles that the Lord did while he was on earth is recorded in this passage. And this miracle is here for a reason. I believe this miracle, as this word, was given by inspiration of God. Now understand, I believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. A lot of people, they have issue with those statements that are like that. Well, it was inspired, and the originals were inspired, and now it's preserved. I understand all of that, but also believe the Bible just as it is written. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I believe I hold in my hands the inspired, infallible, inerrant, indestructible Word of God. And I believe this is part of God's inspiration here. He has given this to inspire us and realize that no situation is hopeless when God is in that situation. No situation is hopeless when God is in the situation. This young man was in a hopeless, helpless situation. No doctor, no medicine, no treatment, nobody, no one, nothing on earth could be done, but God intervened in his behalf, and the hopeless became hopeful, the impossible became possible, the incredible became credible, and the unlikely became likely. And I believe it just as God said it, God touched his body, healed him, and completely brought victory to this young man. Inspiration to inspire us to know no situation is hopeless with God. And not only is given for inspiration, but the Bible is given for instruction as well. How many believe that? If I had two things to tell you about the Bible, it's given for inspiration and for instruction. The Bible inspires us. Amen? I mean, I get to church and I get inspired by the preaching of the Word of God. And I'll just be honest with you this morning. I have to listen to myself preach a whole lot, so I get tired of that after a while. But I'll tell you what also inspires me is biblical scriptural songs. They lift my spirit. They feed my soul. And there have been many a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. I come to church and sit up here. I didn't feel like preaching. I didn't want to preach. But somebody get up, hit that old piano, that organ. Somebody begin to sing a song about my God still alive, still on the throne, still working. I feel something down inside of me. Said I didn't feel like preaching, but move out of the way. I'm ready to go now. It inspires us. It's inspiration to you and I. And it was also there for instruction. Instruction about God. Instruction about others. Instruction about ourselves. Instruction about life and living. And today I want to give you a passage of Scripture that I believe will give us some inspiration and will give us some instruction. Here is a man in this passage who has a problem. I want you to see the problem that he has. It is a problem that is universal, common, timeless among all people and all men. The problem was this: faith for now. I want to talk to you this morning for a few minutes on faith for now. Faith for the present. The problem that this man had and the problem that the disciples had and other people was a common problem. Look in verse 19, if you would, with me, please. It said, he answered him and saith, oh, next word, say it out loud. Faithless generation. They were people who had no faith. Now, I believe historically this happened, but I believe it's spiritually true for us today. We live in a faithless generation. They're without faith in God. They're without faith in the Bible. They're without faith altogether in the revealed truth of the Word of God. He said they were faithless. They did not believe. They were without belief. They did not rest in the promises of God. And then he said there in verse 23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Their problem, the problem they had, was they did not believe. They were without belief. They did not rest in the promises of God. They did not trust and believe on Him. They did not have that confidence in God, that conviction and that certainty that God would work. And then at the end of verse 24, the father of this young man said this, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Look up here, listen. The disciples and this man were not atheists. They were not infidels. They were not agnostic. They believed Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They believed that He was the Savior, the Messiah that was sent. And they said, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. What he was saying is, God, I believe in you and I believe in who you are, but I need faith for now. I need to believe you can work now. I need to believe you can work today in this situation, in this circumstance. It was not that they were unbelievers. They never questioned him. The disciples believed in him. This man believed in him, or he would not have brought his son to him. He would have not done it. And he said, I believe in you, but I need faith for now. I need faith for today. I need faith in this situation. I need faith in my family. I need faith in my church. I need faith in this circumstance that God is going to work now, today, in my place and in my part. And what's going on? May I say, at times this is why we worry and fret. This is why we get so discouraged along the way. Let me tell you something. We have no problem having faith for the past. We've seen God answer prayer. We've seen God open the windows of heaven. We've seen God make a way where there was no way. We've seen God part the Red Sea. How many of you in the past know God has answered prayer? How many of you know in the past God has worked miracles? How many of you know in the past God has made a way where there was no way? Why, we have faith for the past, and I'm going to tell you what, we got faith for the future. I believe Jesus Christ is coming back again. I am saved. I am secure. I am saved. I'm on the winning side, and I believe He's coming back again. A new body, no more sin, no more problem, no more heartache, no more difficulty. It's really going to happen. Really going to happen. I have faith of the past. They did. What disciples that saw him open the eyes of the blind, walk on water, raise the dead. Wish I had that power, Brother Andrews. I tried that every Sunday morning. Somebody said, you believe Easter's resurrection morning? No, I'm doing it every Sunday. Amen. Got to resurrect him. Breathe new life into them. feel like sometime I got a pump and people got a leak. That's all right. I like pumping them up. I like pushing them on toward God. We got no problem with faith of the past and faith in the future. But where our problems come is where this man comes. Faith for now. To believe God will work at this time, at this moment, today. Looking back in my life, I've been saved 44 years. I've been in situations that I literally thought were impossible. There's been days where I thought I was going to die and I wished I could have died and contemplated dying. Hey, if you're saved, dying's not too bad. Heaven's on the other side. There's been days I didn't want to get up out of bed. There's been days where I wanted to pull the covers over and just tell the world to go away. There's been days I wanted to get in my car, ride as far as I could, never see anybody, never see nothing. I just said, God, what's going to happen? How are you going to work this out? What's going to take care of me? How, God, is it ever going to bring glory to you? Well, I'm here to report to you this morning, my God did not fail. My God did not let me down. My God did not disappoint me. And I'm here by His grace, His mercy, and the keeping power of an Almighty God. I believe with all of my heart as I look forward to the future. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with the Lord. But I want to be honest. Faith in the past. Faith in the future. But my faith for now. At times, I still struggle with it. When I'm here this week, there's 10 situations at a minimum going on in my church. At a minimum. That's one thing about church and pastor and preachers. You got to realize you're always going to have problems. People have problems. The idea of the church is to help them with their problems. If they didn't have problems, they wouldn't come to you. They wouldn't need you. Those things are going on. I struggle with that faith for now. Martin Luther said this. There are two kinds of believing. First, a believing about God, which means that I believe that what is said of God is true. That faith is rather a form of knowledge than a faith. Then secondly, there is a believing God, which means that I put my trust in Him and believe without any doubt He will be and do to me according to the things said of Him. Such faith throws itself entirely upon God, whether in life or death. Alone makes a man a Christian. It's not simply believing about God, but believing in God and throws ourselves completely at His feet and at His mercy. The problem was faith for now. But I want you to see something. I want you to see not only the problem, but the plan. Now let me give you something this morning. God always has a plan. Our problem is we miss His plan and substitute our plan. Be honest, did God's plans ever go different than your plans? Why, sure. When I was growing up, I wanted to be a professional baseball player. I had two chances of making it, slim and none. I said, that's my dream. I want to be a professional baseball player. Last year I played. I played in the league with Mike Schmidt. I figured if I could play in the league with him, I could play like him. But he was in another league of his own. And I come to realize, you know, it's just something that goes on. But our plans. Well, let me tell you something. God has a plan. When this man came to Him, He said, let me tell you something. The disciples are not believing. They don't have faith. And maybe your faith isn't what it ought to be. But I want you to know something. If you bring it to Me, turn it over to Me, take it to Me, trust in Me, I have a plan to solve the biggest problem, the worst situation, the darkest day, and the deepest valley of your life. My God has a plan. He's always the Lord and said, man, what are we going to do now? Man, how are we going to fix this problem now? No, the Lord said, I got it. Their part was to get on and in on God's plan. The inspiration of God and instruction of God tells us that God has a plan. I want you to know something about God's plan. It's this. We don't live on explanations. We live on promises. We don't live on explanations. We live on promises. There's something of human nature that always wants to know why. Why did this happen? How's this going to come out? I'm going to tell you the truth right now. Say 44 years, I'll be 60 this year, in the ministry 38 years. I'm glad God didn't reveal to me all the future. He would have discouraged me big time. He would have let me down. Why? We don't live on explanations. We live on promises from the Word of God. Let me tell you, understanding, it's not going to help you bear it sometimes. I said, understanding, it's not going to help you bear it. God promises a peace that passeth all understanding. Sometimes we're not ready. Sometimes we won't receive it. And sometimes we would not take it in the right way. The plan is we don't live on explanations, we live on promises. The plan is we don't live by sight, we live by what? Faith. Faith. The just shall live by what? Talking about simple things, Brother Kohler brought a great message. Here's a simple principle. As ye have received Christ Jesus, walk in Him. All of you that are saved here today were saved by faith. Amen? You received Him by faith. There weren't any works involved in it. None whatsoever. By grace through faith are you saved that. Not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Now listen. Listen to this. This is so profound. I'm amazed at myself. Watch. Now, I'm going to tell you something's good. If by faith God saved me, you know what that means? He forgave all of my sins, washed them away in the blood of Jesus Christ, redeemed my soul, wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I am eternally safe and secure in Him. If that happened by faith, what do you think could happen if I had faith for now? Faith today. Why, the moment you were saved, as the brother was saying, we're immediately saved. We're instantly a child of God. All of your sins forgiven. A child of God. Adopted, redeemed, justified, sanctified, glorified. All in one moment. We don't live by sight. How many of you saved here this morning? Say amen. Now, how many of you have ever seen Jesus Christ? Hope Oral Roberts is not here. Is he? He's not here, is he? Benny Hinn and Jesus Matinee. I mean, he's not here today, is he? We do not live by sight. We live by faith. We do not live by feelings. We live by faith. We live by the facts of the Word of God. How many agree your feelings will change? Sure. I'm sure there's a lot of you didn't want or didn't feel like getting up this morning. Bed felt nice, didn't it? Sheets nice and comfy. Just have your wife go get you some juice and coffee and bring it back to you and relax and just stay right there. That's how it works at your house every day, you know what I mean? Your wife gets up, fixes a big cathead biscuits and gravy and grits and it happens like that. We do not live by feelings, we live by facts. Facts of the Word of God. Your feelings are unstable. Leroy Wright, preacher, he's a pastor of church in Pascagoula, said this. He said, some mornings I get up and feel so bad I can't get my hat on for the horn sticking out of my head. And then he said, I'll get up the next morning and feel so good I can't get my jacket on for the wings sprouting out of my back. That's how we are. I'll tell you what your feelings are. It's like a roller coaster. You can't trust. I'm glad I'm not saved with feelings. I feel good because I am saved. But feelings don't save you. Facts. Facts. I want to say this. The plan is we do not live by the past. We live by the present. You cannot change the past. You cannot correct the past. You cannot control the future. The only thing we have is the present and this moment. Faith for now. True story of a preacher who, I don't know, why would a preacher have to say a true story? I guess so. There you go. Anyway. That's all we'd ever tell, folks. I mean, we may garnish it up a little bit. I mean, we may, you know, 10 years, the story may not resemble what it was when it first happened. It's kind of like fish. Somebody said, how big is that fish you caught? 15 pounds. Man, I thought you had it mounted. It was only 8. Fish grow. Hey, man, if I'd let that thing in that pond that many years, it'd been 15 pounds a day. The pastor's wife had taken very ill. He pastored a small little country church. Spent all of his money and more on medicine and treatment. His wife passed away. When his wife passed away, he hardly had enough money to bury her. Some precious little children, he came home, didn't know what he was going to do. This little girl heard him in the room saying, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. Wife's gone. I got to have somebody to watch my children. I don't have any money. I don't have any food. Dear Jesus, I want you to help me. His little daughter went in there and got a piece of paper and a pencil. Wrote a letter. Dear Jesus, my daddy needs your help. Doesn't have any money. He needs somebody to take care of him. He needs your help. Folded up, put in an envelope, wrote heaven on there. On the front page. Right on the front envelope, heaven. Put a stamp on it, put it in the mailbox. Man, we came by, didn't pay attention, picked it up, took it to the post office. They got there and they saw that envelope, heaven. They all had a big hee-haw laugh. I mean, heaven, where's that? How was I going to deliver that? They opened up that letter and began to read and could see that little scribbling of that little girl and see that what they had was a real need. One man said, I know that preacher. He's been a faithful servant of God. I know that church and I know those folks there. They really need some help. And all of a sudden, they started passing the hat and got enough money to take care of all the bills, get their food ahead and supply every need that they have. It may have seemed simple and it may have seemed silly, but that girl had faith for now. God could provide. God could take care of her. And I believe there's something in the Bible about humbling ourselves as a little child. Something about childlike faith that grows in our life. The problem. The plan. The promise. Look to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Inspiration of God and instruction from God. We have no problem with faith for the past. We've seen God answer prayer, work miracles, part the Red Sea, and open the windows of heaven. We have no problem with faith for the future. We know He's coming. We know it's set, sealed. We're secure in Him. But we have a problem with faith for now. Hebrews 11. I'd like to play a little trick with English words this morning. I know we've already done that. Brother Coley gave us a little coleology on his doctrine this morning, and that's good. I like that, brother. I really do. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Say out loud the first two words. You ever see that? Now, faith. Well, I know when you read it, it's a summary. It's a different kind of a form of the English language. He presents this in Hebrews 11. He said, now, faith. Maybe we could just focus on those two words. Now, faith. Faith for what? Now. The present. It isn't unusual how the Holy Spirit inspired and preserved the King James Bible. Now, faith. Let me say that now, faith is present. Notice in verse 11, now faith is, not was or shall be, is. You have enough comprehension in the English language to know that's present tense. Am I right? Now, faith is. Let me tell you something. When we need faith, we don't need it for the past or the future. Now, faith is a present faith. We need it today. Don't need it tomorrow. We need it today. Now, faith is present. Let me say something else. Now, faith is positive. Didn't say there's no way it'll ever work. Some people are so negative, so critical, so depressing. Is there anybody that you avoid on purpose at Walmart? You wouldn't do that. See them run down the other aisle. You know if you see them, they're going to depress the daylights out of you. Woe is me! You know why? They're negative. So negative, I think, is born under the minus sign. That's their sign. Faith is positive. God, Jesus, did not say to this man, there's no help for your son. It will not work. It was positive. Bring him to me. You believe, and all things are possible. Now faith is present. Now faith is positive. Now faith is particular. Notice, now faith is the what? Substance. Substance. And now faith is promising. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that, watch it, He what? Present. Faith for now. The next part, and that He what? Is a rewarder of them that diligently please Him. Faith for now builds the ark and waits on God to send the rain. Faith for now, when you come to the River Jordan, steps down and waits for God to make it dry ground. I always remember that ark crossing Jordan, those men that were there. And that Jordan was flooded at that time. The Lord said, you step down. When you take that first step, I'm going to dry it up. I imagine that day, these guys say, hey, I've been first carrying the ark every day. You go ahead and go in front of the line. A lot of Baptists like that. Amen. Faith. Trust God to divide the waters when you hold the rod up. Faith for now marches around the city 6 days. And on the seventh day, you shatter out. The walls come falling down. Faith for now accepts God's word before you see God's will. The problem that is common, universal, and timeless is faith for now. Will God work in this situation? Will God work in this predicament? Will God work at this time in my life? 1991, there was a fire in Oakland, California. They got fires out there all the time. That'd be enough anyway. All right, but California. 2,500 homes were completely destroyed. Now, I don't want to make fun of anybody who loses their house, loses all their possessions, whether it's rain, flood, storms, fire, hurricane. Listen to me, we've been down through it on the Gulf Coast and seeing those things. It's a terrible thing. And no matter how much you got, you lose it all, you've lost a lot. Everything. I mean, family pictures, children, grandchildren, grandparents, things that are there. They lost all those homes and they went back and sifted through all the remains. All the furniture was gone. The vehicles were gone. Pictures were gone. Furniture was gone. The only thing that lasted through that fire was pieces of pottery and porcelain. One of the men in that area who was a preacher brought one of those pieces of pottery, an unbroken vase, to church Sunday morning. He as they met outside, their church had burned down, he put that vase up there. And he said, the only thing that stood the test of this fire was this vase. And he said, do you know why? Because it had already passed through the fire once before. He said it wouldn't burn because it had already been through that fire once before. Can the fiery trials of life actually prove to be a blessing? Fiery trials may be painful, but if by God's grace we endure them, our faith can emerge from the blazing furnace purer and stronger. The old songwriter said this, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great trials, but God gives a song in the night season and all the days. Problems come to produce a strong faith that sees God, that He has a plan, that He has promises to take care of us. Faith is to believe what we do not see. And the reward of faith is to see what we believe. The world says seeing is what? God says believing is what? Seeing. Faith for now. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Heads bowed, eyes closed.